It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We explore citizen science, dozens of volunteers in the DNR's rare plant monitoring program, and the work to advance rare plant conservation here in Wisconsin. Share what you wonder about vulnerable species. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kevin Doyle is a botanist with the Bureau of Natural Heritage Conservation in the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, coordinating the DNR's Rare Plant Monitoring Program. Kevin, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with the clustered broom rape near Lake Michigan. A volunteer found this rare plant. Why was this find such an important discovery?
Yeah, so clustered broom rape is a state threatened plant. It's been found about 9 times in Wisconsin over the last, I don't know, over 100 years. But only 4 of the populations have been seen relatively recently. So like, let's say in the last 40 years. So it's a super rare plant. And it had been searched for, this particular population in Manitowoc had been searched for a number of times without success. And then in 2022, a volunteer named Tom Underwood went out there. He'd looked for it in 2018 without finding it. But sure enough, in 2022, he found it. So it was great news for us, you know, that this population is still around of this really rare plant. But as you can imagine, the kind of information that we can collect in 2022 is much better than we could collect in 1979. So we have GPS coordinates on exactly where the plants were found, which will hopefully make finding it in the future easier, keeping track of it, keeping it out of harm's way, that kind of thing. But then we also have updated information on how is the population doing, what are the threats, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so you're really able to hone in on it. Can you describe what it looks like for us?
Yeah. Cluster broom rape is a small little plant. It gets maybe 6 inches, but I think that would be a pretty big plant. And it's parasitic, so it doesn't produce chlorophyll, so it's not green. It's usually like a maroon to even yellow kind of color. It doesn't have real big leaves. They're more like scales up and down the stem, which again is short. And so it's... as you can imagine, it can be pretty inconspicuous and hard to find. So, which made it even cooler that this volunteer was able to pick it out.
And your volunteer, Tom, had a hunch where to find it. Do volunteers have leads in knowing where to look for these rare plants?
Yeah. So once they take a training and, you know, do a follow-up quiz and sign a confidentiality agreement, we're able to provide them with all the information that we have on where these rare plants are located to help them try to find them. So the focus of the program is to relocate known rare plant populations. And so in order to do that, we have to arm them with maps or GPS coordinates if we have them, or written directions on how to get to these plants, information on how big the population was, what date it has been found, what the habitat looks like, all that kind of stuff. So whatever we have that would help them in their search, we provide to them.
What is that confidentiality aspect?
So rare species are sensitive. They're often occur in small populations. Maybe they're sensitive to changes in their environment. And so we really want to protect that information. We don't share that information with the public. We only share it to the township level, which is 36 square miles. So we don't share those precise localities with the general public, but with members of this program, because they're helping us relocate these things and are collecting data for us, then we'll provide them with that information. So the confidentiality agreement just says, I'm not going to share this information with the general public.
Okay. Kevin Doyle with us, botanist with the state DNRs. We talk about rare and threatened plants and the role of citizen scientists who go out and find them as part of the DNR's Rare Plant Monitoring Program. You can join in with your questions at any point at 800-642-1234. Kevin, what is the threshold or the definition of what is a rare plant?
Yeah, so there's legal definitions, like endangered species are defined as those that are at risk of extirpation, so disappearing from the state. Threatened species are species that are at risk of becoming endangered. So there's some legal definition that has to do with how at risk of they are of disappearing from the state. But to put numbers on it, we have 322 species listed as endangered, threatened, or special concern. And if you were to line up the populations of all of them, the average plant has about 10 or fewer populations in the state. So to give people a sense of like how rare is rare, the average plant, so about half of the plants that we have, the half of that 322 have 10 or fewer populations. Now, some have many more. There are some plants like purple milkweed that people might be familiar with. We have like maybe 100 populations documented, but that documentation goes back over 100 years. So there might be a record of purple milkweed from Madison in 1875. You know, the likelihood that that is still there is might be pretty low, but it's still in our database because it helps tell the story of that plant. It helps give us a sense of its historic distribution to see how that might be changing over time, all that kind of stuff. But in general, the most plants have about 10 or fewer populations.
So last year, volunteers went looking for 29 rare plants but couldn't find them. What does that signal?
Yeah, we call these negative reports or negative data when you go out and look for something and don't find it. It could mean a lot of things. And so the kind of data the volunteers collect is really important. So for example, someone could go out and look for a plant, but you know, they were running late. They had some other things to do. They looked for the plant for 20 minutes. They said the habitat looks pretty good, but I just didn't find the plant. That's really different than from someone who went out, crawled around on their hands and knees for 3 hours, didn't find the plant, and the habitat was overrun with invasive species and deer browse was really bad. Those two things tell two different stories. So certainly there are cases of real decline in rare and, to be honest, common plants. I think we all are aware of these stories of species decline. So these negative reports are really important for raising the red flag. What species should we be concerned with? What are these trends? How are these species doing? What are their trends? But it also is important to get the context of each survey so we can identify which ones are likely actual declines and which ones are just the survey didn't have enough time to find the plant.
And if you have about 50 volunteers who all get the same training, are they with you for a duration? Do they spend years with you?
Certainly some do. I think like a lot of volunteer programs, you know, people get involved and they participate for a few years and then they move on to other things. But we certainly have a lot of people that have contributed now for almost 10 years. The program started in 2013. And we definitely have people that have been contributing data, going out on surveys for most of that time, and then new people come in every year too.
Kevin Doyle is a botanist with the Wisconsin DNR coordinating its rare plant monitoring program, documenting the significant rare plant discoveries in the midst of climate change and invasive species. Be part of this conversation. Call in with your questions, your thoughts anytime. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here as we examine highlights of the DNR's rare plant monitoring program and what the discoveries of rare plants mean for the environment and conservation. Join in at any point. Call in with your questions, your comments about vulnerable species, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Botanist Kevin Doyle coordinates the DNR's rare plant monitoring program. Kevin, let's look at another success story from the monitoring program, and that is the Northern Camandra, one of the rarest plants in Wisconsin. What is the status of this plant population?
Yeah, so Northern Camandra, super rare in Wisconsin, state endangered. There's only two populations known in the state, both from Door County. And one of them was relocated last year. So I said with clustered broomrape, that's a parasitic plant. This is a partially parasitic plant. So it does have green leaves, but it also gets a lot of water and nutrients by parasitizing nearby plants. It's related to bastard toadflax, if people are familiar with that prairie plant. There's two populations in the state. One was found in 2022 for the first time in 20 years. So again, it's another example of suddenly we have a lot better information on how the plant is doing. We have precise GPS coordinates, and we have an update on the condition, the vigor of that population. Right now, the DNR is updating our endangered and threatened species list. And part of those assessments to see which species should be endangered and threatened is trends, understanding how the populations increasing, decreasing, are they stable? If they're increasing, how fast? If they're decreasing, how fast? And so we need, you know, multiple data points along over these years to interpret trends. And so if a population hasn't been seen in over 20 years, it's really hard or impossible really to assess trends. So the data that we got on that survey in 2022 was really helpful to see like, well, actually, yeah, this population is pretty stable. It's doing pretty good. I think the other noteworthy thing, or the thing worth mentioning about this Northern Camandra survey was there's only two populations in the state. And I think maybe sometimes people might think like, oh, well, if there's only two populations of a plant, we're probably on top of it. The DNR or the general public has probably visited those populations a number of times because there's only two of them. But that's just not the case. Like I said earlier, are over 320 of these species that we're concerned about. And if you add up all their populations, there's over 6,000 have been documented, and just on public land, there's over 3,000. So that's way more than I can keep up with.
You need your army of volunteers, Kevin.
Correct.
Is there a part of the state that is most abundant with rare or endangered plants?
Good question. There's definitely hot spots around the state. So the corners of the state are usually hotspots because one of the reasons for rare plants being rare is that they're at the edge of their range. So they barely sneak into the state. So Door County is a hotspot. The city of Superior is a hotspot because there's plants that are more common further north, but barely sneak into the northwest corner of the state. And there's a lot of wetlands up there, a lot of really kind of unique wetland types and types of soil. So there's plants there. There's other causes for hotspots are just areas where there's a lot of public land. So the lower Wisconsin State Riverway in southwest Wisconsin has a lot of public land. And so that provides people with an opportunity to go out and botanize, we would say, or search for these plants. So there's a number of hotspots. The Baraboo Hills is another hotspot. And then in southeast Wisconsin, the Southern Kettle Moraine is a particular hotspot for, there's a lot of prairie plants and savanna plants found in the Southern Kettle Moraine. So that's a really important spot. And that, again, it's there's a lot of public land down there. And then it's, you know, it's in the crosshairs of Milwaukee and Madison. So there's a lot of people to look for this stuff. That helps. And then on top of that, there's a lot of management going on. There's a lot of groups, whether it's the DNR or the Nature Conservancy or local land trusts, that are actively burning or removing invasive species from a lot of these sites. So it's not perfect, but they're getting a lot of help down there. And that's showing in the number of rare plants we find.
You mentioned invasive species, and I wonder what impact are they having on what makes your list and the future of these rare plants?
Yeah, it's a major concern, a major threat. There's a lot of reasons. Rare plants are rare, but invasive species is certainly one of the biggest. In southern Wisconsin, the problem is probably worse than it is in northern Wisconsin. Not to say that we're not concerned about it in northern Wisconsin, but they've kind of taken hold in southern Wisconsin in a way they haven't quite got to in northern Wisconsin. So yeah, it's a constant battle to preserve these areas. I think historically there might have been a thought that, like, if we just protect the property, if the DNR buys the land or the Nature Conservancy buys the land and turns it into a preserve, then that's great. That's good enough. And I think now we're moving into a second phase where we can't just protect the land. We actually have to manage it and put in the work to remove the invasives and do prescribed fires and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's a constant battle. It's habitat degradation is certainly one of the biggest causes of rare species decline, not just rare plants, and invasives are a big part of that degradation.
Big part of that story. Kevin Doyle, who coordinates the DNR's Rare Plant Monitoring Program, giving us insights into what this program is about and the volunteers who help make it happen. You can join in with your questions about rare and threatened plants at 800-642-1234. Kevin, volunteers reported 10 populations of kittentails in Wisconsin, including a new population on private land. What is significant about this plant?
So kittentails is one of the rare plants that's found in the Southern Kettle Moraine that I was just talking about as being a hotspot. Kittentails is what we would call a Midwest endemic plant. So that means it's in across the world, it's only found in the upper Midwest of the United States. And within that small distribution, the Southern Kettle Moraine of Wisconsin is probably the core of the species distribution. So we have more populations in the Southern Kettle Moraine, and those populations are healthier than pretty much anywhere else in the world. So it's a really important species for Wisconsin, and the Southern Kettles are a really important species for it. We call these kind of species responsibility species because Wisconsin, having this sort of outsized number of populations of the species, we have an outsized responsibility to protect them.
I thought I knew what kittentails look like. Can you explain how they look? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so the leaves are, they look like plantain leaves,
yes,
that people might see in their like front yard. So it's not particularly charismatic.
I did
in
a double
regard.
Take, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like if people are familiar with Heartleaf Golden Alexander, I'd like to think they're more similar to that because it's a little more flattering than plantain. But and then it has tall stalks of yellow flowers. The whole plant probably doesn't get more than a foot tall, so it's not real big. But yeah, it's kind of these. It looks similar to a plantain.
As we close out here, your program is expanding staff. What will additional staff allow you to accomplish?
Yeah, we're excited that we just hired a second botanist who will help coordinate the program, Jessica Ross. So we're really excited to have her on staff. And I think that will allow us to expand the program in ways we haven't been in the past. So, for example, maybe we'll have more in-person events over the summer, maybe things like kind of group rare plant blitzes where we go to a site where there's a number of rare plants known and we all kind of scatter out working in teams and do that kind of thing. So that'll be good. I think just being able to improve communication, just build capacity on our end to facilitate all these volunteers doing this great work for us to hopefully improve their ability to go out and find these things.
Kevin, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Kevin Doyle is a botanist with the Bureau of Natural Heritage Conservation in the Wisconsin DNR, coordinates the DNR's Rare Plant Monitoring Program. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.